Ian Fleming, The Man Behind James Bond, by Andrew Lycett. Forward. I have been lucky to stumble across a 20th century icon whose turbulent and enthralling life was much more interesting than I or the general public ever envisaged. When I first encountered Ian Fleming's novels, in the early to mid-1960s, they were, like Beatles albums, part of a teenager's cultural rites of passage. Following the release of Dr. No, the first James Bond film in 1962, the suave secret agent portrayed on screen by Sean Connery became a worldwide popular hero. For a generation of schoolboys such as myself, Fleming's paperbacks, which proliferated in the film's wake, offered a potted guide to what we dimly perceived as sophisticated experience. Huddled under scratchy blankets in dormitories after lights out, our torches flickered and our eyes wearied as we eagerly participated in underwater battles in the Caribbean, or death-defying tangles with spies on the Orient Express, while our unfocused libidos were roused by steamy sexual couplings, the likes we could only dream of. The action was more traditionally exciting than Mickey Spillane, and the bedroom scenes more direct than Harold Robbins. Not for nothing did Fleming, in his frequently self-disparaging manner, call his books the product of an adolescent imagination. Another of his descriptions was fairy tales for grown-ups. Returning to Ian Fleming's novels as an adult, I found them surprisingly enduring. They were a clever concoction, all right. Like a good salad dressing, they required the right ingredients, their author used to say. But what once had been sensational now seemed a natural part of the story, and what stayed in the mind was the ebullience of the writing, the freshness of the images, the thoroughness of the factual research, and the scope of the imaginative vision. Fleming was a much more engaging wordsmith.